Common sense is not so common. And in an era where global uncertainty is rampant and government is out of control, this is the show making sense of all the madness. Broadcasting live from the Arizona desert, you can't dodge the Hodge. Here's your host, Dave Hodges.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the guest segment of the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And we have a terrific guest today. We have Lisa Haven. And we're going to be talking about an upcoming conference that we're both involved with Steve Quayle. You're going to want to know about that. And we're also going to hit the highlighted events of the day, actually of the times. And we live in unprecedented times. Before we join Lisa, I just need to say a couple of things. One, if you got all your money in the bank, shame on you, because that means you're not listening to us. If you listen to us in the alternative media, you know the banks are headed for absolute disaster. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to call the good people at Noble Gold. They can hook you up. If you got an IRA from a bank, from a business, from a financial house, and they go under, you're history. But at Noble Gold, they can protect you. And I always say, I went from being an advertiser to a customer with Noble Gold for very good reasons, and I'm extremely satisfied. No pressure whatsoever. So you need to give them a call. And how do you get a hold of them? 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Again, there's also a link, noblegoldinvestments.com. Quickly on this, you hear me beat this dead horse all the time, and I'm not going to stop saying it. Your time to get storable food is almost over. Whether we hyperinflate or the food supply chain breaks down completely, and the Suez Canal fiasco sent that a long way down that road, your time to get storable food, if you're deficient, is coming to a close. I just read a study that said less than 10% of Americans could survive 6 months. I hope that's not you. But if it is you, you need to get started. Restaurant quality food, 2,000 calories per day, tastes great, I mean, every ingredient you want, and there's discounts available. Go to preparewithdave.com. And finally, our last sponsor, and I have a question for you along these lines. When the communications are taken away from us and we're on the road, we're seeing that right now with big tech. But soon they're going to take away the websites, they're going to take away your cell phones, they're going to take away everything from Trump supporters and people of like mind. What are you going to do? Well, there's only one option left, and that is a satellite phone, a backup satellite phone. I got mine, and I'm ready. And I'll tell you, you're in areas too where cell phone coverage doesn't hit it, and you're a hiker or a camper, whatever, this is what you need. I'm going to give you a number to call, 855-980-5830. That's 855-980-5830. Tell them Dave Hodges sent you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, peace of mind stuff. I have one for each member of my family. If we're separated in a crisis, we can communicate, because this communication cannot be monitored and it cannot be blocked. One more time, 855-980-5830. Well, Lisa Haven really needs no introduction. She's been a guest on our show, a popular guest, many, many, many times. And everyone knows about the great work she does in the alt media, which is really now the new major media, why we're under attack. We outdraw the major media, we outreport them, and we certainly have more integrity than they do. And leading the way among these people, like Steve Quayle, like Doug Hagman, right there at the front is Lisa Haven. And we're going to talk about some critical issues of the day, and we're going to make a mention, too, of this conference coming up. And Lisa, welcome to the show. I'm really glad you could join us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate being on the broadcast.
Well, it's really our honor to have you on, because I know you're in high demand and because you do such good work. But let's take a minute and talk about this great conference that the Gen 6 people are putting on, because we had really thought we had done our last conference. And then I was talking to Steve one day, Steve Quayle, and we just said, you know, he said to me, Dave, God's calling to my heart that we got to do something here because we're in really dangerous times. So they entitled this conference, Extinction Protocols, Globalists to Initiate Tribulations. And that conference, there's a sign-up period right now with a discount, June 11th through the 12th this summer. This is going to be a great conference. I know you're in it. Catherine Austin Fitz, Gary Haven, Dr. Sherry Tampenny, Steve, Mike Adams, and of course, you. So tell the audience what your topic is going to be on.
Yeah, at the conference, the reason I really encourage people to go to the conferences is, you know, for our channels and stuff, there's not always a full-fledged information that we can share and put out to the public, and it's good to see everybody come together and talk about a similar topic from different perspectives. But at the conference, I'm going to be talking about how Christians and conservatives have been labeled from the very get-go. We were labeled deplorables, you know, via the Trump movement, and Trump supporters are labeled deplorables as well as Christians.
Yeah.
And then it changed to racist. Then it went from racist to white supremacist. Then from white supremacist to actual terrorist, and to eventually in the future that could lead to destruction, execution, things that we saw in history's past. So it's a timeline, if you will, of kind of some of the start of where we are, where we currently are at as a country, and where we're headed in the very near future. And I'm really going to dive in, you know, how the CIA, the deep state, they control the media here in the U.S., them and the Democratic Party. But that was just one stepping block in the direction to basically seizing control of our country. And that includes the segregation and persecution of Christians. But I tie everything from Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, and some of the things they did, show it to what's going on today, and then even get in how Christians and conservatives have been labeled Nazis. I get into the actual government documents, and there's quite a few. There's at least four or five that have come out just this year alone, specifically attacking and going after conservative and Christianity under the name of, as you're well aware, Dave, white supremacy. So, but I'm really going to dive into the facts of it all and just reveal it that way to the people. So check it out. Encourage everybody to do that as well.
You know, it's funny. My wife and I were talking about a publication that labeled me the white supremacist, Dave Hodges. And I'm not even sure where they got that, because I've always championed for the underdog. And if it's a civil rights issue, so be it. And then my wife looked at me across the table and she said, "Honey, one of your jobs has been being a college basketball coach, and 80% of your players were non-white." And I said, I know. And she said, "We still have these relationships." "Yeah, I know, honey." And she said, "And when we had our celebration last summer, we had a big party," she said, "who are your two best friends?" And I'm not going to get into the details, but they weren't white. And I know that in your family, you have mixed race, and yet you're labeled that way too. This is so ridiculous. This is so divisive. But Lisa, I'm heartened by the fact that when I engage in conversations with people who don't share my skin color, they see the ridiculousness of this too, the vast majority of people. And usually they're older people, they're closer to my age, and I worry about the young and the attitudes that are being formed. But older people, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they don't see it this way. They see it as divide and conquer nonsense. Are you finding that too?
In some cases. I will tell you a story of a good friend of mine, and we had been friends for years. The gal, she's obviously not white, but she and her and I were really good friends. She was a black lady, but I love her to death, and I have forever. And she was at my wedding, been to all my events and parties, and then everything started coming out with all this social justice warrior, white supremacy, race on race, this Democratic leaning. And we had a conversation one day, and she was, you know, America with a KK in it, you know, and just gone far left because of, I think because of all the, you know, the spouting by the mainstream media. She just kind of went in that direction full force. And I had a whole conversation with her one day, and she labeled me white privilege. And I'm like, okay, now I'm done. So, I mean, I've lost friends over it is what I will say. And I explained to her very clearly. I said, "Look, how am I white privilege?" I said, "I've had I've said I've been harassed by police officers. I've actually had police brutality. I had my head slammed in both sides of a police car while he's flipping U-ies on the road, knowing that I don't have anything to protect myself. And he did this on purpose. And I was 19 at the time. I actually didn't commit a crime. I had called them for my ex-boyfriend at the time that I was with, like a DV kind of thing, but I had done nothing wrong. I hadn't been convicted of a crime. And this is what the police officer did to me. I said, well, did that kind of police brutality, does that only happen to one race? No, it happened to me when I was 19 years old. And I said, on top of that, I said, where was my privilege when I'm young? I said, my parents are still dirt poor. They live in a single wide trailer. And this is what I grew up in, as a child. I said, I grew up in a very bad neighborhood. There were meth labs down the street. I had a single wide trailer in our, and we had to literally survive out of the food banks. My parents would go maybe once a month or something to get food there to keep our mouths fed. And so don't tell me that I don't know what it's like, and tell me how I have privilege. I've had kids for a while. I've been denied. I'm gonna say this instead. I have been denied like scholarships because I'm not a minority, and it didn't matter how poor I was because my parents couldn't afford anything. They weren't able to pay my way into anything, so I had to do it all myself. And so I had expressed all this to my friend at the time, and she's just like, "Well, you don't know what it's like to be me, to be a black woman." And I'm thinking, okay, so in other words, I can't express what happened to me because it doesn't fall in line with your agenda. And unfortunately, I have lost, now I think it's been two separate friends. And one of them was a friend of mine for over 20 years. It's just gotten like crazy. And I know other people who have, but there are people who are also standing on our side, like you said, against this nonsense. And they see that it's bringing division and divide. And I've even tried to tell that to my friends that I've lost, but to no avail. Unfortunately, they've just gone off the deep end.
Yeah, I know. And you can't win. I'll give you an example, too. I've criticized immigration policies of various presidents, particularly the current one, for being not good for America because it's not done orderly, systematically, and we're not screening for the small percentage of people who could be really dangerous to our people. And say, oh, you're a racist, you're a racist. Well, the other day I put out a piece based on the border conditions and how we're treating human beings. I don't care what country they're from, they're children of God. They deserve to be treated with respect, dignity, and safety. And oh, now you're a bleeding heart liberal. You can't win. You cannot win in this arena. No matter where you stand, they're coming after you. And it's interesting, too, when you talk about your friends that you've lost, it sounds to me like they've been indoctrinated with the mainstream media message and they're living in the past where there was real racism that was blatant and institutionalized. Now we have individual racists. There's no denying that. But we have all the laws in the country. We need to correct it. We don't need all this wokeness. Because, you know, if you deny, at the college that I was coaching basketball at, we got a new president, and she was black. And she came in, she was going to originally rent a townhome before she built her house. And then they said, well, that's no longer available. And then she found out they rented it later, and they didn't want a black person there. So she pursued action. She went through the Office of Civil Rights and so forth, which she should have done, and she kicked their butt. There are laws to protect people. The system is institutionalized now against racism. I just don't see the need for all this wokeness.
No, and you're absolutely right. The truth of the matter is, like you said, we very clearly already have the laws in place. The second point I think that needs to be made is racism is going to exist forever. There's no way to weed it out of every person on the planet. The good news is there's not very many of them. Maybe a handful in the entire country, true, actual racism. And for the past 20 years, you know, way even before that, we've had you know, black presidents of the United States. We have, you know, people in the music industry, I mean, of all races, colors, and creeds. And I have never had an issue with any of it until they started making issues of it in every news source. Then suddenly, now racism has become in the very air that you breathe. And that's the way that they're really portraying it, when it never was before. All of us were getting along just fine prior to all this woke and cancel culture and critical race training that they had to do. And I don't know one racist person in my entire life. I've never ran into one. You probably never ran into one. And if you do, it's few and far between.
Not in the arenas I've been in. When you're in education and you're in coaching, you really can't survive in those arenas if those are the views that you harbor. You won't last very long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's not a whole bunch of racist people, like they're making this out. So then the definition becomes, what exactly are they claiming a racist to be today? And by their own definition, a racist would basically be a white person who is privileged and doesn't realize that they've had privilege for years on end, privilege in society, privilege in jobs, privilege in, and it's like, okay, that's not what racism is. It's actually the opposite of racism when you're labeling a color as having a unique credentials, if you will, because that's what racism is about.
You're
calling
right.
a color out for one thing. And so they're the racist who are actually labeling us as such.
You know, it's kind of funny. My dad came from a very poor family out of the Depression, and then he worked his way up through the ranks, was in World War II in Korea, and worked his way up in the intelligence community. And then he made an okay living, was never wealthy. And my first job was as a teacher, and this was 1979, and I was the head coach for three sports. I taught five subjects in a high school, and I made the grand total of $10,600, and I'm privileged. Because where I am today is not there. You know, I'm certainly not Rockefeller, but I'm a lot better off than I was in 1979. But Lisa, like you, and like anybody, regardless of their background, we've earned what we got. And we didn't, and I did it on helping people. Someone said, yeah, you got to where you are because you earned it on the backs of people who aren't white. And I says, well, wait a minute. I said, my job was to help all people. All people. So this whole wokeness thing, I stopped watching the NBA over it.
Oh, I don't watch them either.
Because and listen, I'm a basketball guy, but I stopped watching the NBA because I got tired of being told I'm the problem with society because I'm white. Well, I can't change my skin color. I don't need to change my attitude, but I sure recognize BS when I hear it.
Yeah, and they want to, and the sad part is they want us to act like we've gotten everything given to us, handed to us because of our color, and it's just not true. It's absolutely 100% not true, and I'll put it into perspective. We don't have it's white scholarships. You know, we have minority scholarships. We have people getting accepted now to jobs based off of the color of one's skin, not based off of the merit of the person, like Martin Luther King talked about, right?
I know.
My dad's still broke poor. He can't do much work because he's somewhat disabled, but he's recently tried to get a couple of jobs, and he's been turned down because he's a white male. That's what they told him. We don't have room for white males right now.
That's illegal.
Yeah, and that's what they told him on two separate jobs. And I'm like, this is insane because my parents are poor. I mean, I it took a lot to get to where I am today, but I did that. I wasn't privileged to get here. And my parents, they're unfortunately, my dad's still disabled, you know, so, you know, they've got they're very poor. But to say that to a poor guy, I mean, good grief. But this, I think, and I know other Americans are experiencing exactly what you and I are talking about, and that's why my heart goes out. When I grew up, I actually grew up in a town that was more Hispanic and had less whites, so I was somewhat of a minority. So I know, you know, how it can feel to live to feel as a minority. You know, I remember thinking growing up, oh, of course. you're not going to have anybody else other than Hispanics win everything because they have the majority vote rule. You know, these are things you that flash through your head when you're a minority in an area. And I got to experience that. But in no way, shape or form did I think they were more privileged than I. We were always on equal footing. We were always on the same ground. And that's why in today's society, they're really twisting it because they had to come up with a bad guy in order to push their scheme of racism, xenophobic stuff, in order to get their policies enacted and literally destroy the United States of America. Because the end game here is to divide and conquer. We know under Lenin used, rich class versus poor class to destroy society. They tried that here in the U.S. and it didn't pan out. We also know in Yugoslavia, they used religion. One religion against another, and the media constantly fed it, and that destroyed Yugoslavia and many other countries. And then here in the United States of America, as you and I have both talked about, they're using this race war created by the mainstream media. It didn't exist prior to that to any level that they're trying to make it out, and their entire goal is to divide and conquer. So instead of reporting news stories based off of facts, based off of what's going on, they report every news story from the lens of a political agenda to pass. How can we twist this story to race bait the world? And that's what we're faced with.
It's very well said.
That's a society.
No, that's very, very, very well said. But see, it's not just race, too. But let me say something about race. I have a theory about this, and it's speculative, so you really can't quantify it. But if you look at how you take down a culture, and this is what we're going under right now, I believe we're in a Maoist cultural revolution, and to do that, you have to take down the power structure. And historically, more white people have occupied positions of power in this country than not, so that makes sense to me. That Chinese-backed policies, and that don't make no mistake about it, you know this as well as I do, China's behind a lot of this stuff. They're behind Antifa. They arm them. They are behind the cartels. They arm them. And so the Chinese are engaged in a Maoist cultural revolution on race, but they're also doing it on gender. Have you heard about what's going on at Cigna Healthcare?
I have not.
Okay, it is now a violation of company policy if you use the term brown bag lunch. Hispanics will be offended. Well, I've got an Hispanic friend. He called me the other day and I was in the car and he says, don't ask me for a brown bag lunch, Hodges. I'll call you a racist. And see, they're taking it as a joke. The intelligent people. You just worry about the people who believe everything they see in the media. And then the other thing they're doing at Cigna, and this is to me the greater crime, and now we get into gender issues, you cannot talk about your quote husband, quote wife, quote son, quote daughter. You can't say his and her. You have to say we and they and them. This is official Cigna healthcare policy.
Wow. Well, it's a policy that unfortunately Nancy Pelosi herself tried to implement there or did implement, you know, as far as from the congressional or House floor there, you know, she did the same thing. She said you can't refer to certain pronouns. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
But then if you went to her profile, she had on there mother and daughter. And I'm like, okay, hypocrite, you know, like, but this is the unfortunate way in which a lot of businesses are going, more of the liberal-oriented businesses. But it's all a part of agenda to, like you said, destabilize. And not just destabilize, but to dumb down the culture. Like, there's really – and to immoralize the culture. Dumb down, immoralize the culture. Because what did they call it in George Orwell's 1984 book? Doublespeak? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, doublespeak. That's what they're doing in America. They are making us so illiterate if you will, that we can't even understand what a male is and what a female is. They are convoluting the very dictionary, where we can't call a brown bag brown if it's brown, or we can't call it Black Friday because it has the word black in it, or we can't drink white milk or whatever, you know? I mean, who knows where they're going to take it in the future, but this is the kind of society that no one cannot be offended by. So every day you walk into society, there is going to be some color or some item or something that you said with some color that some leftist cancel culture person will use against you. And it never ends. There is no end. And that's the thing about critical race theory. I read the definition on it and exactly what it meant. And what it really boils down to is there's never a fix for it. There's racism 24/7. It exists in the very air we breathe. And I'm not even kidding. This is what they're showing. This is what they're teaching. And if that's the case, there's never a point where you reach the climax and it's end. It's always evolving. So they can always make a new rule, a new regulation that just does nothing but divide our country. And let me tell you, speaking on the division, this really opens us up to other countries. Like we have our military being feminized, our military being dumbed down. You know, talk about, what was it, Biden, who was talking about maternity outfits for the military. And I'm thinking, somebody who's pregnant shouldn't be fighting in a war, you know? But this is the idea that we're giving to international countries like China and Russia and Iran. And so, and I obviously also think that a lot of this critical race theory and all of this stuff, like you mentioned a moment ago, is being pushed by China to break down our country and to break down our military, and it's working.
I would say it is. When you have people coming out and saying, for what happened 300 years ago and ended 165 plus years ago, we need to pay reparations for it. We know it was a despicable practice, but my dad's side of the family wasn't even here. So, I mean, where does it end? You know, the idea of reparations, I heard this guy, and I won't watch ESPN now, because this guy came out and he was saying, and he was white, and of course he was going along to get along, and he simply said, yeah, we all, white people, need to be paying reparations. Reparations, huh? For a crime you did not commit. So if your grandfather murdered someone, should you go to prison too? And then, you know, you look at the ridiculousness of it here, and actually I had a person who was black said this to me. He says, Dave, I'm married to a white woman, you know that. He said, do my children get reparations, or do they only get 50% of them? And he was being sarcastic. This is how ridiculous this wokeness is. And see, because it's so illogical, it shows me that's not the objective. The objective, as we said early on in this discussion, is to divide and conquer. And the thing I'd say to people is this: when that Chinese tank is coming down your street, do you think they're going to give a damn whether you're an atheist, a Christian, a Trump supporter, you're Asian, you're white, you're black, you're Jewish? Do you think they care? They're coming to kill all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I say it's an agenda, obviously a Chinese agenda, because they're using the radical left for their means. That's why Antifa and BLM get away with anything and everything, because they are Marxists at the very core. That is what they're doing. And here's the other thing I want to mention about the race is, since you mentioned your friend, most of them don't want to be seen as a weak victim, and that's really what the mainstream media and society is painting minorities as. And if I were a minority, I would be freaking like offended that the mainstream media is putting out this idea that we need help, we need reparations, we need money, we can't take care of ourselves, we can't fill out our passports, we can't go vote at the voter box because we don't know how to fill out a ballot. I mean, these are things that are being said by our officials, and to sit there and say that minorities need all of this extra, it's very insulting. And the other day, I took everything in me not to say anything, but I was in a clothing store in the mall, and I was walking in the mall, and there just happened to be, the store was full of white people at the time. And in walks in this black couple, and the lady walks up to the black couple and offers them bottles of water. I thought, oh, okay. They didn't offer me one. And I looked at everybody else in the store. Nobody else had a bottled water, but she offers this black couple water. Then I'm like, okay, maybe it was just a fluke. So I watched people coming in, and more white people came in, and none of the white people got offered water. It was just the one black person. And I got to thinking, this is the mentality of the liberal left. Why aren't we all equal? Why wasn't I given water? Why was it only them? I don't know whether to be offended or not be offended, or be offended for the black people or not. It's just like this virtue signaling gone haywire, really, in our faces. And I had to hold my tongue, because the girl was a teenage girl. I didn't, you know, want to make waves with a teenager who was working there. But I was just like, this is the insanity level that it's gone to. Has that anything like that ever happened to you?
No, in mind only. You know, when I look at what's happening when you talk about these preferential programs, you know, a lot of people of color have complained that I'm capable, I don't need this. It's an insult to imply that I need this. Financial help is one thing. You know, scholarships based on need is one thing. Scholarships simply based on color or other demographics is something entirely different. And it's just like we're doing things that intentionally piss other people off. And that's the whole objective here. You know, but another thing, I alluded to this with Cigna, but I'm really concerned with the gender issues here. There's an app that's coming out in the UK, and they're going to try to make it a law that you can't date someone unless you show that you're COVID immune through this app.
This is where? You said
in the UK. They're actually having discussions. The app is already done, and it's in private use. The UK is talking about making this mandatory before you can date someone.
Wow.
They haven't implemented it yet, but I'm just saying, the fact that we're even having this discussion is ludicrous.
It is. It really is. And I think it just goes into what China's already doing. And I think China's the testing ground. Their people are the testing ground for everything they want to implement on a national scale. So you bring up this sort of quote unquote, I'm going to call it social scoring in the UK, because that's kind of what it is, right? Or kickoff to it. And that's what's coming to the U.S. And that's already in China, where you can't go on certain dating apps or get certain women or send your children to school based off of a social score. So I think that's just a form that they're trying to roll out on a global scale. And here in the United States of America, I don't know if you've done any reports on the ESG score, but this thing is absolutely terrifying. Now, for those who may not know what an ESG score, it's an environmental, social, and government score that they give to businesses. And they judge them based off of how much of a social justice warrior they are, how many minorities they hire in their businesses, and how green and they are. Do they have the right kind of coal? And let me just, or the right kind of electricity. You know, are they more solar, or do they go, you know, more wind or whatever, or do they go fill in the blank? So it's this entire, are they government compliant? Are they, you know, all of that? And this is a score given to businesses in America. And, also, it's kind of like how liberal are you score, and that's what it is. How much of a liberal? And if you own a gun store, say you're a gun store owner, your ESG score is near zero. It's very, very low.
I'm right? Sure.
Yeah, so that's the kind of things that they're doing. So those organizations like gun shops that they don't like have a failing grade. Right. So would other things, Patriot shops, food storage, supply stores, these kinds of things get a low grade on purpose. Now, what happened recently is, and I saw this on Glenn Beck. He's the one that originally pointed out that the ESG score was now being applied to investors, people who were investing in companies. This guy, the story that Glenn Beck shows and proves with evidence and facts is that his friend logged in on his, to check out his stocks and all of that. And basically, if you're an investor and you want to put stock in a company, or you have a 401k and you put stock in a company or whatever, right? Then now he was assigned an ESG score based off of who he decided to buy the stocks from, right? Who he decided to invest in, and he was given a score. So I'm like, oh, that's now they're scoring us. Now they're scoring people who just want to go and invest their 401ks and giving us an ESG score. And that's right here in the U.S.
That's already been going on. I have a source inside the NSA who's racing to retirement. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. But we talked privately. And, of course, we did the cell phone ditch, and that's never a guarantee anyway. But he didn't want to be discovered. And when he told me, he asked me, he says, Dave, you have a background as a mental health therapist. I said, yes. He said, do you know what the MMPI is? And I said, yeah, it's a 16-scale measure of different elements of your personality to determine mental illness or the degree of mental illness. And he goes, yes. And I said, and also determines personality. He said, we have a very similar instrument, only we're measuring compliance. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, if you go on to Facebook and someone puts something in there about anti-Biden and you give a thumbs up, or you do it on YouTube, he said, that's a check against you. That affects your score. He said, the next phase is to do what the Chinese are doing. If you step outside the crosswalk, yeah, you'll probably never get a ticket, but you'll get a negative score. And I said, where's this leading? And he said, well, we've never been told formally. He said, but where this is clearly leading is hyper Chinese social credit score, but it's based on a lot more than what the Chinese use. And he says, I think it's going to be used for the re-education camps. And he quoted one of my articles where I took AOC, Kamala Harris, Pelosi, and their comments about we can never let Trump rise, people rise again. We need to deprogram and re-educate. And I made the comment when they said, like, enemies within, I said, this is Nazi pre-genocidal talk. And I wrote an article about it. And he actually referenced that article in our discussion. And he said, this is what I think they're going to do. They're going to create conditions for the need to put people in camps. And these scores are going to be used to who gets re-educated and who gets terminated. And this is from inside the NSA. So we have the same thing in the private sector. And I first heard about this, not from him, but somebody else who told me they had a source in the NSA who told them the same thing. And this was 2008, so 13 years ago. So I don't think this is anything new. This is coming. And if you look at the legislation, when you look at ESF, medical martial law, they can incarcerate you. And the sponsors of these actions aren't even medical people. They're all the government institutions like the State Department, DHS, the Pentagon. And there's no medical. And then, of course, there's FM 39.4, which is the outlining document, the parent document for FEMA camps. So, and sorry to go on like this, but I wanted to reinforce what you're saying. This is here, and it's in spades, and people are being tagged, and I think soon they're going to be bagged.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that that's a direction that we're headed. I mean, it's part of a biblical principle also. You'll be dragged up to the prisons and jails and synagogues for his name's sake. That's Luke 21:12.
Right.
And we're seeing some of that. And the sad truth is, I have to tell you, I've had lots of people in our realm already being denied services. Probably Chase Bank was one of the biggest. It denied a good 10 conservatives the ability to even open a bank account. They were closing their bank accounts based off of the fact that they were merely a conservative. We know all the things that President Trump was blacklisted from. Insurance agencies have now blocked conservatives for posts that they made on social media. We also have organizations like Uber Eats, PayPal, Spotify, you know, GoFundMe, who are all kicking conservatives off their platform. You want to know what was one of the first thing that happened in Nazi Germany? Well, Jews started getting kicked out of places, and we're being kicked out of places now, you know, as conservatives and Christians. True. So there's another we're definitely headed in a very terrifying direction. I'm going to put it that way.
Well, I'll add one more thing, that we've got digital book burning going on with all the big tech censorship. Absolutely. I mean, Google AdSense, if they don't like something on your website, we're going to terminate a relationship with you if you don't take this article down. And that's digital book burning. And it's the same thing the Nazis did. And now we're moving to COVID passports, which is a form of Nazi checkpoints. Papers, please. It's crazy.
I'm terrified about that. I put out a report and I'm like, you know, I'm not one who has ever gotten vaccines. I take the libertarian stance. If you want to get it, get it. If you don't force me to put something in my body. And quite frankly, you know, if you're under 60, there's really not a point to sit there and take it for a virus that has a 99.9 survival rate if you're under 60, you know? And so it's not really going to pan out. And it's an experimental mRNA vaccine that talks to your DNA. I mean, really? I don't want to put anything like that in my body. And obviously there's a lot of lines that are being crossed here. And the Biden administration is now talking about putting this thing out there, but he's saying it in a way of, we're just going to have it available for businesses if they want to use it, quote unquote. But then what happens is all those businesses are forced by our congressional leaders, by people from the top. They start forcing them, if you don't implement this, then we're going to take away that write-off, or we're going to take away that tax credit we give you, or we're going to take away this funding, you know, because the government funds and does stuff like that. And that's what they've always done. So they're going to harass and threaten airlines and businesses to do this. And I don't know what I'm going to do coming into this future, because we're going to be there's going to be a segregation in society. And I think we're absolutely going to see that. I didn't think we would see the day, but I do. I mean, not this soon, but we're going to see it. We're going to see complete parallel societies where if you and I don't get the vaccine, we can't fly in an airplane. We can't do certain transportations. We can't send our kids to school. And it's already here. It's already here, and I fear that they'll even take away the religious exemptions that they currently have.
Well, here's the big thing that bothers me. And I had this conversation with a doctor, and it went like this. Are you getting the vaccine, Dave? And I said, no. And I said, you have to understand my background. Yeah, I taught at a university. I taught research. We use medical modeling in our curriculum because it's easy to understand. And I know the protocols. And I said, with the vaccine, there were no animal testing. We're the animals. I said, that's number one reason why. I said, the second reason why is there's no published contraindications. And he knew exactly what I meant. He said, well, maybe there aren't any. I said, well, congratulations, because that'll make that the first medical treatment in the history of medicine not to have a side effect for somebody. And to me, if they're not going to be forthcoming with these standard elements that are associated with all medical research and medical development, then they haven't earned my trust, and I won't take it. I don't care what they do. They'll actually have to hold me down and inject me, because I will not take it. And I don't care what the social cost is.
Yeah, I won't be taking it either. I'm just preparing for being kicked out of society in many shapes and form. And I think we just have to prepare for that, you know, and as unfortunate as that is. So now if you're against the vaccine because you worry about your health or whatever, or you have a religious belief, you've now been segregated from society. And so we're going to get this double segregation, being a conservative Christian Trump supporter and someone who is against those vaccines. But we'll be disgraced, we'll be name called, we'll be labeled as conspiracy theorists and radicals. That's definitely the direction that they're headed. I actually saw a post today. And I kind of scrolled upon it not by accident, but I was looking through other things and came across this particular report, and it chilled me to the bone. But here I'm going to read the headline on the article so you can see how bad it is. I'm trying to pull it up here. The Gateway Pundit. There it is. Nope, it's not Gateway. Okay. Oh, geez. Oh, here it is. Okay. It is foreignpolicy.com. This is the article, and it was published on March 23rd. But here's the headline. The U.S. needs de-radicalization for Christian extremists. That's the headline. And basically, what they're calling for is programs designed to reform, say, violent jihadists. They basically want to use those kind of style of programs to Christians and Christians extremists. And the definition has to be asked, well, what is a Christian extremist? Well, according to the right-wing extremist document, we know that as anyone who is against abortion, anyone who believes in the New World Order, or anyone who believes in end-time Bible prophecy. So if that's your definition of a Christian extremist, is that who they're preparing these quote-unquote programs for? Mm-hmm. But to just have articles like that, it was just chilling and disturbing on so many levels.
What's the title of it again?
It is called The U.S. Needs De-Radicalization for Christian Extremists. And I encourage you to read the whole thing. I've read the whole article, and it is just nuts.
What do you think would happen if I published something that says, we need re-education camps for liberal media?
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
It's absolutely amazing here. You know, I've heard it's going to go as far. By the way, I just interviewed, and we're going to publish this tomorrow. I interviewed an employee of the airlines, and after I had gotten about 6 emails about their training that's going on behind the scenes about what's coming, they're not making vaccines mandatory for airline personnel immediately, but if you fly to areas where they require it, then you'll have to have it or you'll lose, you know, so much of your work. But I'll give you a couple of examples how ridiculous this is getting. If you were a flight attendant, for example, and you're on a flight and you're eating in the galley after you've served everybody, you have to put a face mask on in between bites and between drinks. And that's actually in their policies. That's something that they've trained people on by computer. And when they deplane now, there are going to be new procedures coming up. Here you're sitting 12 inches or less away from the person next to you, so no social distancing whatsoever. But yet when you deplane, it's one person at a time, go to the overhead bin, get your stuff, maintain your 6 feet, the next person can go. After sitting next to someone for 10 to 12 inches, you know, for hours on a flight in recirculated air.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. Hey, I want to give a shout out to a couple things here. First, again, I want to review that conference. You can go to stevecoyle.com, and there's a Gen 6 ad in the right-hand corner. I've got one, too, on my website, and you can click that on and register for the conference. It's inexpensive, and I think a lot of really notable people. I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm honored and humbled, actually, because of all the great people on there. But stevecoyle.com, gen6.com as well. So, and Lisa is going to be a featured speaker at this conference, and I always look forward to seeing all these great people. And I get to interview these people. I'm thinking, wow, how lucky did I get? It's one of the cool things about this job. People like the late Jim Mars, who I just admired tremendously as just a regular citizen, no one in the media, and then I got to be really good friends with him, got to interview him all the time. It's like dream come true doing this work from that standpoint. The rest of it's kind of a nightmare. But anyway, Lisa, you've got a really strong media presence as well, too. Let's take a couple of minutes and let's talk about all the things that you're involved in, because you do a lot.
Yeah, the main thing I'm involved in now is restrictedrepublic.com. People can go there, check us out, and subscribe there if you want the inside information. Because I've also got the YouTube channel and lisahaven.news, but unfortunately, you're limited to what you can and can't say on YouTube. It's just the truth and any and all social media platforms. So that's why I created restrictedrepublic.com and just really direct people there, because there you can share the real news, as you two have done.
So. Yeah, that's true. I recently interviewed Doug Hagman, a man who's universally respected. And I asked him two questions. I said, Doug, is America occupied? Have we been conquered and occupied? And his answer was affirmative. And then I said, Doug, is there anything we can do to get the country back? And he said, it's going to take a fight, a real fight. How would you answer those two questions? You got about a minute to do it.
I would say I would answer it the same way Doug Hagman did. We've already been taken over. Things are already happening in the U.S. They've already put a label on their enemies, and I think it will take something akin to a war to bring it back to where it's at, or, you know, states seceding from the union. That would be the other option there.
That'll bring on a war too.
That it will.
Just like 1861, the prevailing powers that be are not going to allow separatism. They're not going to allow separate but equal, to coin an old phrase. But I think that day is coming. I told Doug this. This is my response to him, and I get your quick reaction to it. I said, the military is too woke now. At one time I thought they'd stand up for us. Now I have my doubts. And I said, I think that what we're looking at with 400 million handguns in America, that we're the world's next Viet Cong, and it's going to be a generational fight. Do you think that's possible?
I think anything's possible anymore after seeing what they did with COVID, you know, and the military, you're right. The military was our last line of defense. It was our holdout. They own the education system. They own the banking system. They own the executive office, the congressional offices, the mainstream media. They own it all. The only thing they didn't own was the military. And that's why they're going after them hardcore right now. And they put the stand down on the military to, quote unquote, weed out conservatives and Trump supporters, and that's exactly what they're doing. If you are a conservative, it's going to be hard. They're not going to want to join the military anymore. They're just not, because they're kicking us off, and that terrifies me, that we'll have a one political agenda military.
It's already happening to some extent inside of DHS and the Border Patrol. I hear from these people. They tell me DEA went through their purge about 7 years ago, and they think they're going to go through it again. It's crazy. Well, Lisa, I'm really glad you're a participant in Gen 6 conference. Looking forward to the great work you do. And again, people, I encourage you to visit Lisa's sites every single day, because every day she has something new and innovative. So, Lisa, thanks so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on as our guest.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Take care.
All right, you too.